This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. So the Milwaukee Bucks tonight have their backs against the wall. The number one seed in the Eastern Conference, who did not have Giannis for most of Game 1. I think played 11 minutes. Didn't have him in Game 2. Didn't have him in Game 3. Had a triple-double in Game 4, but they lost anyway. Are now facing Miami in Game 5 tonight. And you add to the fact that the Green Bay Packers finally completed the deal to send Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets, a deal in which they swap the first round pick with New York. They also get a conditional pick for next year if he plays in 65% of the plays. Less than that, they get a first round pick. More than that, they get a first round pick. So Progressive Guest Line, Progressive Insurance, for a job you love, visit progressive.com/careers. That's our guest line. Alex Strope joins us, ESPN Madison, to talk both of those things. How are you, my friend?
Tony D, man, it has been a heck of a week. Can you believe it's only Wednesday?
It's only Wednesday, exactly. It's only Wednesday. All right, the Packers and the Jets, people were wondering when it was going to happen. They looked at the draft and said, man, if you're Green Bay, you want to have something happen before that. If you're the Jets, you wouldn't mind it if it was pushed another year. But what was the sticking point? Where were we just a few days ago?
Yeah, well, we weren't anywhere a few days ago, right? We were totally stalled in conversations, and then over the weekend, Joe Douglas and Brian Gutekunst, the general managers of each team, finally came back together, and they started those negotiations back up. Ultimately, what I've been hearing and what people who are a lot smarter than me have told me is that pick swap in the first round, right? The Packers get pick 13, the Jets get the Packers pick number 15, is really what set it over the top. And then that conditional pick was they were really in the weeds with it, right? What was the condition? And ultimately, it got to a point where Brian Gutekunst was really happy with it because, look, Tony D, it's Super Bowl or bust for the Jets this year, right? So I have a hard time believing if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, he's not playing anywhere near less than 65% of the snaps, which I'm not a math guy, but I think that's about 11 of the 17 games that Rodgers would need to play in. So as long as the Jets are winning, I think Brian Gutekunst is going to get a first-round pick next year on top of the second pick next year. I think everybody's happy. Both sides are, because the Jets, right? It's a national or a huge market nationally who hasn't had a great quarterback for a really long time. So they're happy. They finally got their guy, and Green Bay gets some picks to help Jordan Love here in the future.
And it worked out on the conditional pick because it wasn't attached to retirement. It wasn't attached to. It was attached to. In the end, you get what you want in 2023, which is Aaron Rodgers playing mostly a full season, and then we get something out of that deal that's also good for you.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. And I think that's obviously what hung this deal up, right? It was when Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show 6 weeks today, he said, when I went into my darkness retreat, remember when we were talking about that? That feels like it was 2 years ago.
Right.
And he said, I was 90% retired going in. That made Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, go, that's interesting. He didn't know that when he met with them earlier in the week. But ultimately, both sides win here, Tony. I think it's a win-win for both sides. And like I said, it's Super Bowl or bust. So Woody Johnson and Joe Douglas and company were going to do what they had to do. They pulled the trigger. They made it happen, and now they've got their guy.
Where are the Packers today? So now that Aaron Rodgers is gone and Jordan Love is the quarterback, how are they – I mean, not to get all numbery, but like, where are they cap-wise? Are they in good shape to be a turnaround kind of team if things fall into place, or do they have a lot of holes that they got to fill now?
No, they don't have a ton of space. A little bit of the movement with Aaron Rodgers helps, but look, I agree. Let's not get bogged down in the details. I'll tell you this: it's a rebuild here. It's been a long time since we've been able to say that with Green Bay, as every one of their neighbors to the east, south, and west in Minnesota, Detroit, and Chicago have dealt with several times over the last three decades. The Packers haven't had to. So it's part of a rebuild here because if you look at specifically the tight end and wide receiver rooms for Green Bay, not a lot of sexy options in there. And then it's also an evaluation here, right? What can you get out of Jordan Love with this group you have in place? I don't think it's going to be very pretty, but Jordan Love, year one as a starter, see what he is. They have until next Tuesday to pick up his fifth-year option, which I assume they'll do. So you likely guarantee yourself 2 years of Jordan Love. Gives you 2 years to kind of put the right pieces in place and see what you can get out of them. Best-case scenario, this is probably like an 8 or 9-win team like they were a year ago.
I mean, we got to go back to what, the early 90s when the Packers weren't relevant in the NFL playoff picture? That's insane.
Yeah, February of 92 was when the late-round Wolf traded for Brett Favre, right? And that turned around everything. Ultimately, we didn't know at the time that Brett Favre would end up being what he was, a first ballot Hall of Famer, because the Magic Man was still starting, if you remember.
Don Majkowski, that's right.
Don, and Majkowski goes down against Cincinnati in the 92 season, and the rest is history. So here we are over 30 years later with two back-to-back first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And now Jordan Love, big shoes to fill. I don't know that he'll live up to those expectations, but we'll see what he can be.
Before we get to your thoughts on the Bucks tonight's game five, I want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. We over time, things tend to even out. How are they feeling? How are people feeling about Aaron Rodgers today? And when they do retire his number, do you think all of that will be under the bridge?
Yeah, I think similarly to Brett Favre, right? So I'll tell you how it is similar and how it's not similar. We'll start with the latter there. Back in 08, when Favre was traded to New York, the fans were totally pro-Favre, right? I mean, there was people out with their picket fences and torches and pitchforks outside of 1265 Lombardi Avenue in Green Bay saying, you know, what are we doing here, right? What are we doing? And now here in 2023, that's not really the feeling. I think the off-the-field comments and drama and what have you with Aaron Rodgers over the course of the last three off seasons has really put the fan base at a place where they were ready to move on. And it seems like a majority, I'm not speaking for everybody, but a majority of the fan base feels like they're more pro Packers than pro Rodgers, unlike 2008. How it is similar though, is the fact that obviously, A, they're all going, or they both got traded to New York. But I think when that time comes, as you mentioned, the jersey retirement, everybody will rally around Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure they'll fill the stadium for the jersey retirement day like they did for Brett Favre. And you know, I've sensed a bit more gratitude over the last 24 hours since Aaron Rodgers posted that long soliloquy on Instagram last night thanking Green Bay. So there's a little bit more gratitude than I think there has been over the course of the last 6 weeks since we learned Rodgers would be going to New York. But now that the deal's done, and you've seen your first look of Aaron Rodgers in Jets green rather than Packers green, I think there's a little bit of reality all of a sudden setting in. So we'll see. I think it's going to be an interesting couple of hours as Aaron Rodgers is set to speak as a Jet for the first time in less than 3 hours.
All right, so not only you dealt with that, you got Milwaukee down 3-1 in the series against Miami. What did you make of Giannis's triple-double but yet coming back from an injury look?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't quite the level of 2021 when he left, I think it was the Eastern Conference semifinals with an injury, missed a game, came back and dropped like 40 points, right?
Yeah.
He is superhuman, and he still looked superhuman. But, Tony, tell me this. How do you defend Jimmy Butler? Because I think
I know, right? I know. They've produced much more than I thought, given – I thought without Tyler Hero, I thought they were done. I just said he's so important to them. No, Jimmy Butler is not going to – even with Bam and Jimmy Butler, I didn't think that without Tyler Hero, I thought they weren't going to be anywhere in this series. And especially after Game 2, and that's kind of my point. I thought Game 2 was Milwaukee going, there are other people here that can beat this Miami Heat team. So I wasn't surprised Giannis wasn't playing in Game 3. I would have done the same thing. I'd say, look, we just beat him pretty good in Game 2. We probably could do the same. But
yeah, you saw big wins in Games 1, 2, and 3, right? I mean, all three of those games were pretty much blowouts. And then it came down to what we saw the other night in Game 4, which was a 10-point Bucks lead with just a couple of minutes left. And they let that evaporate, boom, and Jimmy Butler goes completely unconscious in the last couple of minutes. And the Bucks couldn't make a shot, right? I mean, they were really struggling from the field there late in the fourth quarter the other night. So it has not been ideal. But look, I still think this series has a couple games left in it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Tony, that the Bucks are going to come back and win it. But I think they win tonight at home. We get a Game 6 at least on Friday. But I have a feeling, championship teams, which I think we both view the Bucks as, right? They won the title 2 years ago. But they've got most of their core back. Championship teams don't go away easy. And we've seen that in the past with teams like Golden State and what have you. So I imagine they win tonight, and we'll get a Game 6 Friday and see what happens there. But it's an interesting series. I don't think anybody, even with the Giannis injury that happened in Game 1, expected we'd be in the position we are right now.
I know. We've kind of poo-pooed this Eastern Conference as saying it's like Milwaukee-Boston. And then Philadelphia is like a 1B, and then everybody else disappear and take off and leave so we could get to see Miami playing like this, to see Atlanta go to a Game 6. Maybe I was too hard on those teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
Maybe, right? I mean, right. The Western Conference is certainly supreme. It has been for what seems like almost two decades, right? Almost every year, the Western Conference produces much better basketball. But I'm with you. It seemed to be the case this year, but all of a sudden here comes Miami. You've got all sorts of teams. Boston's still really fun to watch. I still think they're the favorite, especially with Milwaukee down 3-1. But I don't know. I love this time of year, Tony. You've got the draft on Thursday. You've got, obviously, the NBA and NHL playoffs. It's one of the best times of the year, man.
It certainly is. Alex, good stuff. Thank you a lot for joining us. Appreciate it, my man. I know you guys are busy, so thanks for the time.
Absolutely, Tony. Anytime for you, my man.
You got it. Alex Stroff again, ESPN Madison in Wisconsin. They've got dealing with Aaron Rodgers, and they also got the Bucks down 3-1 to Miami. But they've got Game 5 tonight at home, and like I said, I agree with them. I think this is going to a Game 6. After that, I don't have any idea where this series is going to go. But I do think Milwaukee does win at home tonight. I think they really, backs to the wall and everything in front of your home crowd, I think a team like Milwaukee, as built like they are going to come through. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.